Nehemiah chapter 2. So then, to read the word of God, I will ask that everybody stand up. And we will begin, we're going to begin with verse 1, and we'll stop at verse 4. So if you have it, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Nehemiah is after Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, for those who are me searching. Okay, so let's begin. Nehemiah chapter 2, it says this, "And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing this is nothing else but sorrow of heart? Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my fathers, and the gates therefore? Then the king said unto me, So I pray." Thank you so much. You can be seated. So today, the message that I have for you is this. Building a great work for God. So the idea is this. We're living in America. There was a time, I know many of you are young, and you can see I'm young as well. There was a time where America used to send missionaries overseas. And America still do. We still send missionaries overseas. But there was a time the amount of missionaries we used to send overseas were enormous. I'll tell you this. I did not know the story. The reason I'm here in the U.S. in part is because of the Southern Baptist Church. They used to be a good church. I know you might say, I know we are independent Baptists. We may not think so, but the Southern Baptist Church used to be a good church where they're sending missionaries overseas to preach God's word. It is because of that my parents were able to get a visa. And sorry, you know, to make the story short, hence I'm here. So the missionaries, they go and they preach God's word. But here's the thing we have today. Today, America lieth in waste. Today, America is not the place it used to be. And the same thing that has taken place in England will take place today in due time in America. There was a time where England, Great Britain, you can say the gospel was there. You know of Spurgeon, you know of Whitfield, many great preachers in time past in England. They used to preach, and they will come to the U.S. even to preach the word of God. But today, England lieth waste. But likewise, today, America is not far removed. America lieth waste. So then, let's see the response of Nehemiah when his country, his town, Israel, lieth waste. Nehemiah says this. So his countenance was sad. He was the king's cupbearer. So basically, that's a very prestigious position. When I say it's a very prestigious position, you have to remember in those times, people, when they try to kill the king, if they cannot get to the king through wars, through different avenues, they will try to sneak in. They will try to be subtle. And one way to be subtle is to deal with the people who are serving the king. So Nehemiah was the king cupbearer. So basically, before the king will eat something or before the king will drink something, Nehemiah will taste it. That is to say, Nehemiah was willing for him to die at the expense of the king. That was his job. So he's the king's cupbearer. Now, in the countenance of the king, you cannot be sad. The reason you cannot be sad, because if you are sad, as Nehemiah just said, he has never been in that aspect before. So the king noticed that. The king pays attention to that. He asks Nehemiah, "Why are you sad? Why is your countenance saddened?" And Nehemiah says this, and said unto the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulcher, lieth waste?" And so today, that's the message, the title, the way we're going to draw most of our passage, America lieth waste. But now here's the thing. America lieth waste, but we do not have any people, any young men who says, I want to be a Nehemiah. We do not have any young women, perhaps. You may not be a Nehemiah from a woman perspective to go and to preach, but you can say, hey, you know what? I'm gonna be a Mary, the mother of Christ. We'll talk more about that in a second. But today, there's nothing wrong for a young man to desire to become, let's just say, a lawyer. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong for a young man to say, you know what? I desire to be a school teacher. There's nothing wrong for a young man to say, I desire to be a physician, or I desire to be a bus driver. I desire to do X, Y, and Z. I desire to be a politician. There's nothing wrong with that. But before you do all this consideration, have you considered God? When I said, have you considered God? In the Bible, we know sometimes God calls people. For example, we know of Samson, how God calls Samson. We know of Ezekiel, many men of God, God called them. But there are certain men of God he has not called. There are certain men, they simply volunteer. And one of the great men in the Bible, Isaiah the prophet, he didn't have a call upon him. He saw the glory of God, and God says, whom shall I send? And he says, here I am, send me. So today, for young men, for young women as well, and I'll give the perspective for young women as we go proceed. Once again, it's not wrong for you to desire to do X, Y, and Z. It's not wrong for you to desire to say, I want to start a family. I want to become a farmer. I want to become a president of the U.S. I want to do X, Y, and Z. But the question is, before you have made those decisions, have you considered God? Have you considered what's going on in the land? Nehemiah, right now, he was a cupbearer. He didn't choose to be a cupbearer. When I said he didn't choose to do this, it's because of the sin of his people. Maybe because of the sin of his grandparents. Maybe because of the sin of his parents. He found himself in exile. He found himself in a land that he didn't choose to be in. But in that land, he was successful. He's a cupbearer. He certainly is in a position of prestige. But he's willing to forego of that. He's willing to let go of that because he sees his people were in waste. The land of Israel were in waste. So then now, here's what happened. If you do desire this, let me give you some verses in the Bible to tell you it's not a wrong thing. It is not wrong to desire to serve God. It is not a wrong thing to say, I desire to be a preacher. Actually, in the old days, it was encouraged. Churches used to encourage young men to go to the ministry. It is not a bad thing. It is not a bad thing to desire. It is a great thing to desire to be an evangelist. It is a great thing for women to say, you know what? Whatever my husband does, I'm going to support him. If my husband goes to the ministry, he may not make as much money, whatever the case may be. We may have to be more frugal with our expenses, but I will support him. It is great. It is encouraging, especially right now in America. America has become a mission field in itself. America life waste. I'm not sure if you travel in the big cities. When we go to places like Charlotte, we're supposed to be the South. We're supposed to be the Bible Belt. Charlotte is becoming like New York City. Recently, we were in Charlotte. We have gay parade, where tons of banks, tons of people uplifting the homosexual lifestyle. Not only that, we go to Charlotte sometimes during Halloween. You find people dressing immodestly, and sadly to say, even quote-unquote Christians participate in those things. So what I'm saying is this, America life waste. It is a great thing as a young man to say, you know what, God? That wasn't my plan to go to the ministry. It wasn't my plan to be an evangelist. It wasn't my plan to do that and this for you. But there is a need. There is a need. Let me be like Nehemiah. Let me be like Isaiah. Let me volunteer. And guess what? If you do volunteer, God is not going to say no. I've never heard of somebody who said, I'm going to volunteer to do something for God, and God says, I refuse you. So if you volunteer and the preparation is there, God will use you. So let's see what Nehemiah did in order for that to take place. So let's go back to chapter 1. It says this, the same book. We're going to go to chapter 1, verse 1. It says this, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Ananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked of them concerning the Jews. I asked of them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. So one thing we see here, the reason Nehemiah developed that desire, because Nehemiah has a concern. Remember, more likely, some people say this, I'm not sure if it's true. We're not certain if Nehemiah was born in exile. We're not certain if he was a child and being sent to exile. We do not know. But whatever the case may be, what you see is this. Nehemiah has a concern for the people. He was inquisitive. He wanted to know the state of the land. He wanted to know how the Jewish people were doing who were in Israel, who had not come to Babylon. He wanted to know their state. So today, if you wish to see how America, if you wish to see the condition of America, if you wish to see the condition of the land, you cannot stay here behind the four walls. If you wish to see where your country is heading, what you should do, what you ought to do, is to go out sometimes. Go out on Saturdays. Go out on your spare time. Go to the big cities. Go even to the small towns and see what's going on. Go on Saturday to see that the clubs' houses are filled. Go to different places. You don't go to the clubs, but pass by them, certainly. You will see how they are filled. And you look at, if you want to see where the nation is heading, I'll give you a good example. Look at the Christmas season. People are more interested with the Christmas tree. People are more interested with giving gifts to people whom they love, and sometimes people whom they don't even love, because that's what society tells them to do. If you see the state of the land, you can see how on Black Friday, the stores, they make billions of dollars in profit, whatever you may call, whereas the churches are scraping money to send missionaries overseas. So if you wish to see the condition of the land, you cannot know it just staying behind the four walls. You have to go out. If you wish to see the condition of the land, you need to ask. And one way you can find out is to read the Word of God. Because man has not changed. The Bible says that man loves darkness. Man doesn't like light because they prefer the work of darkness. So what I'm saying is this. If we want to turn America, if we want to make a change in America, we have to inquire. We have to go out beyond the four walls and see what's going on. So Nehemiah inquired of his comrade. What was going on in Israel? What was going on in the land of my nativity, in the land of my fathers? And the people told him that the walls, they said this, and they said unto me, verse 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So as I said before, I mentioned this again. There's nothing wrong for you to have some desires that you want to be whatever it may be, a police officer, a firefighter, a computer designer, whatever the case may be. But I want you to consider the condition of the land. America lies waste. America needs men and women. America needs children. I know some of you might say, well, I'm old. I am, 60 years old. There's not much I can do. My time has passed. Well, that is not true. You tell that to Caleb. Caleb was about 85 years old when he said to Joshua, give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. So likewise with you, you might be old. You God can still use you. He has used Caleb. You might be a child. Some of you might say, well, I'm too young. Some of you might say, well, I'm only 7. I'm only 8. I cannot do anything for God. That is not true. Go tell that to Joshua. Go tell that to, not Joshua, but the king in Israel. Help me out with Joash. Go tell that to Joash, who became king at a young age. Go tell that to David. Go tell that to Joseph. They were young men serving God. For those of you who are ladies, you might say, well, I'm single, or I'm not married, or my husband doesn't want to serve God. There's not much I can do. That is not true. I think sometimes you don't consider the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. In the story, for the sake of time, in the story, when you read this story, pay attention to it carefully. In those days, a young woman, if you were not married, it was looked down upon. In those days, being married was the way to escape poverty. In those days, marriage was it. And it should be, even today. I know today we're living in a society where they tell you differently. But the Bible has not changed. God is still the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. But when I said consider the story of Mary, here's what you have. You see a young woman whom, when the Holy Spirit came and says, "Behold, thou art well favored." Although that was great news. It was great news. Imagine, as a young woman, the angel of God says you're about to bring birth to God in the flesh. It's great news. But although it was great news, it wasn't as simple as you may think. The reason I said it wasn't that simple, think of it from that perspective. A woman being caught in adultery in those times, they will stone you. That's the law. A woman being caught in adultery in those times used to be stoned. Now, here's the thing, guys. I want you to remember this, congregation. God's mind has not changed on that point. Kind of, if somebody does commit adultery, you deserve to be stoned. That's what we deserve. But we don't. The reason we don't is because of God's mercy. The reason we don't is because Christ has died. Christ is resurrected. So therefore, when God should exercise that punishment, God doesn't, because he sees his son. But the punishment has not changed. God has not changed. If I were to be disrespectful to my parents, what I deserve to be stoned. The reason I'm not stoned is because we're living in a wicked country. The reason I'm not stoned is because God sees Jesus Christ. So then his judgment, his anger, his wrath is pacified. But God has not changed. Those things has not changed. So I want you to keep this in mind. Mary, although she has received that great news, behold, kind of, she's going to conceive and bear God in the flesh. Though it was great news, it was also sudden. Because think about from this perspective. She was about to be stoned. She could be stoned. She could be stoned. But you know what she said? She said this, I'm paraphrasing it, but something along the line. It said, let it be, kind of, be it unto me as pleased to God. Basically what she's saying is this, whatever come my way, so be it. What she was willing to do, she knows the consequences that may come with this, but she said, let it be. Whatever come my way, so be it. And I hope you realize, when you read that story, Joseph was about to put her away. That is not a pleasant thing for a young woman. Joseph was about to put her away, but she was willing to accept that. Why? Because first, she was about to bring Christ, the child, into existence. Today, young ladies, you're not about to bring Christ into existence. Certainly not. But here's the thing, though. The land lieth waste. The land lieth waste. You may be single. You may not be married. You can still serve God. You can say, you know what? I'm going to devote my life for God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be present. I'm going to support the men of God. I'm going to be present for soul winning. I'm going to be present for door knocking. I'm going to clean. I'm going to give myself to God. As I said, I'm not saying it will be easy. Likewise, it was not easy for Mary. But it was a decision. It was a decision they have taken. So let's continue on. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Keep your passage in Nehemiah, because we're going to come back for it. Go to 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. I'm looking at the time. The time has flown so quickly, apparently. Daniel, how long do I have? Till 12 or 12:30? 12:30, okay, good. Well, let's look at 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says this. It is Paul writing to Timothy. It says this. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. So what Paul is saying to Timothy here, to have a desire to become a preacher, to have a desire, I'm putting this thing in there, let's just say to be an evangelist, to have a desire to serve God, that's a great thing, especially in the age that we're living, where we need more preachers, where we need more women of God to say, you know what, I'm going to be that sore thumb. I'm going to be sold out for God. I'm not going to stay in the fences where people may not know if I'm a Christian or not. I'm going to be separated unto God. So what Paul is saying to Timothy, it is a good thing. It is a good thing if you desire the office of a bishop. So it is a good thing, young men, it is a good thing, young women, if today you desire to do something great for God. It is a good thing if you say today, you know what, I'm going to be sold out for God. It's a good thing to desire those things. And if you desire them, God will enable you. So let's continue reading. If we go back to Nehemiah chapter 1, we'll go to verse 4 now. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. It says this. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned. And mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. So it is one thing to desire something. Now remember what I just said. I wish to God that we'll have, to be honest with you, sometimes I talk with my friend, Brother Matt, I will to God we'll have 100 preachers who will turn the Northeast upside down. And you might be like, oh, 100 preachers, that's a lot of people. No, it's not. Consider the Northeast. We have millions of people. We have churches, but they don't preach the gospel. We have churches, but they are not separated unto God. So I will to God, we have at least 100 preachers. Imagine if we have 100 preachers and we go to Boston and march, and we have women, children standing up, lifting up God's name, and preach and sing. Imagine if we do the same thing, we replicate that, let's just say in New York City. We replicate that, let's just say in Vermont. We replicate that in other part of the country. I know many of you might be saying, oh, Brother Erwin, we're living in the Laodicean church. We cannot have revival again. That is not true. Although we are in a time where people are becoming called towards God, but it doesn't mean you have to be called. It doesn't mean you have to be called. You can purpose in your heart to say, you know what? In a world where everybody is moving to the left, I'm going to stay to the right. In a world where everybody is becoming colder towards the thing of God, I want to draw nearer to God. But it's a personal decision that you have to make. As you can see here, Nehemiah, when he heard that news, first he inquired. When he heard that news, you know what he did? He prayed. He fasted. He mourned to the God of heaven. So it is one thing to have a plan. Now, I wish you have a plan. I hope you have a desire to do something for God. It is one thing to have a plan. It is one thing to have a desire. But all of it will come to nothing. All of it will come to naught if you do not seek God. All of it will come to naught if God is not with you. All of it will come to naught if you do not seek God on a daily basis. The thing with the spiritual life, it's not today you did a great, it's not today you go out soul winning and that's it. You wash your hands. Today is today. You've done one good thing for God. Tomorrow is tomorrow. So then what the Christian life is all about is daily. Is daily you have to purpose in your heart to say, God, use me. God, help me not to miss opportunities. Use me, God. Pray. Ask God to send somebody to your path. Ask God to be a witness. Ask God to live that Christian life. As I said before, many of us, we don't have a desire to do the thing of God. But for those of you who do, and I hope everybody will, for those of you who do have a desire, you must have a plan. You must have a plan. When I said you must have a plan, you must seek God. You must seek God in prayer. You must have compassion upon the people. In the book of Jude, it says this. It says, he that has compassion makes a difference. So what you have is this Nehemiah, he inquired, and he has a compassion for the people. But as you can see, he seek God's face. He prayed. He fasted. Now, many of you might be, what's the purpose of fasting? If you ever read the Bible, the disciples, God sent them out to preach the word of God. And they came to a path where there were some people they were unable to heal. And when they brought the person to Christ, Jesus Christ healed them. And they said, Christ, how come we were unable to heal them? And Jesus told them this. Certain things, certain power come by prayer and fasting. So what is this? What we're saying is this. We have to pray. We have to pray. We have to pray. The Christian life is about prayer. We have to pray. But we have to fast. Sometime you have to forego of that food. Sometime you have to forego of that comfort so you can have God's power, so you can have God's strength to go on. So that's what the man of God did there. He fasted, he prayed, he mourned. So then, let's continue on. Now, many of you will say, what do I mean by a great work? Well, here's what I mean by a great work. A great work can be defined in two ways. For young men who say, hey, I want to go in the ministry, it is not wrong to say, I desire to build a big church for God. When I said big, not in terms of the building, a church where there are many people who are serving God. It is not a bad thing. You know why it's not a bad thing? I'll tell you what. You know what Christ, God's desire is? Here's what God's desire is. Let me read it for you in 2 Peter 3. I'll read God's desire for you, and I'll show you why this is not a bad thing. 2 Peter 3, verse 8 and 10. 2 Peter, New Testament, next to John, after Hebrew, towards John. Beautiful verse in the Bible. So I'll begin with verse 8. It says this, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And verse 9 will be important to us here. It says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the reason I have said it is not a bad thing, it's a good thing for a preacher or an evangelist to say, you know what, I desire that God will give me a great ministry. And by great, I'm saying, I'm going to give you two definitions. To say, I want to build a church. Once again, it's not so much the church building. I want to build a church where I have young men, young women, older women, children who are serving God. It is not a bad desire. Because look at, you know what God's desire is? God's desire is that every man, every woman should be saved. So to desire that men, you have a lot of men, a lot of women who are saved. That's not a bad desire. It is good to desire to see people saved. It is good to desire to see people serving God. It is good to desire to see people who used to live in sin repent and living for God. It is good to desire to see your grandkid, your children serving God. Likewise, people, the same way you desire that your children and your grandkids serving God, the same way you ought to desire that somebody else's child, somebody else's granddaughter, somebody else's brother, come to the gospel. Sometimes we pray so much for our family members and we don't get any answer. Could it be the reason God does not answer you because you don't care about God or their children? When I say God or their children, meaning you don't care about God's creation who are not saved, who are not your family members. So the idea is this, if you want God, and God will sometimes, if you want God to save your lost brother, if you want God to save your lost parents, it might be good to be concerned about somebody else's parents. Because though they may not be your parents, but they are God's children. When I say God's children, in a way, God has created them. So although they may not be your brother, although they may not be your cousin, but they are akin, a cousin to somebody else. They are God's creation, and he cares for them. He cares for them as much as he cares for your son. He cares for them as much as he cares for your cousin. So sometimes it might be, that God does not answer our prayers is because he sees, though we are very concerned about our immediate family, but do we share the same passion? Do we share the same compassion about somebody else's family? So what you see is this, the reason I'm saying as a young man, it is okay, it is good, it is a great thing to desire to build a strong ministry for God, because God desired that every woman should be saved. Unfortunately, we know how the story is going to end. Not every man, sadly to say, not every woman will come to repentance. Needless to say, it is God's desire. Needless to say, if God has his way, God is not a robot where he will twist men and women to serve him. But if he had his way, that's what he will have. So likewise, to desire such a thing, it's not a bad thing. So then let's continue on. Let's look at what David did. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. Beautiful passage as well. Here we see from a man of God. It says this. We begin 2 Samuel 7. I'll begin with verse 1 and 2. And then you can do the rest maybe at home for the sake of time. It says this. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. He's referring to King David here. And the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. I don't know if you realize this. So what David was saying is God has blessed David tremendously. And God has given David peace. But you know what? David was not satisfied. And I think sometimes that's what happened to us. God has given us so much. Once again, this place, it has had air. We are not cold. We have beautiful windows. We have a building. God has given David great comfort. But you know what? David, in spite of the blessing that God has given him, he said, you know what? What about the ark of God? I want to still do something for God. I want to build a temple for God. And at the end of the day, so let's skip. Let's skip and go to verse 27 to illustrate the point. It says this about David. Verse 27, same chapter. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, has revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore had thy servant found it in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. So here's what David was trying to say. David had that desire to build a temple for God. David says, God, it is you who gave me that desire anyway. It is you who gave me that desire to build that temple for you in the first place. So what I'm trying to say is this. Today, if you have a desire to build a good work for God, certainly it's not from the devil. Think about it. Certainly it's not from the devil. And I don't think it's from the flesh. Because the flesh will say, let me go and seek money. So then if there is such a desire to say, you know what, I want to do something for God, it's certainly not from the devil. At the end of the day, it is God who has put it in your heart to do. So David was saying, God, it is you who gave me that desire. Help me to fulfill it. As you know the story, God gonna tell David, you're not gonna build a temple for me. Your son Solomon gonna build the temple. But you know what David did? David went on and saved as many golds as he can, saved as many silver as he can, made preparation for Solomon. So what I'm saying is this: today you should desire to build a great work from God. But if God doesn't have that in your plan, so then make preparation. Help somebody to build a great work for God. Because that is also serving God. Although David did not build the temple, but he made the preparation, the gold, the silver, the cedar trees, all of it. He prepared them for his son Solomon. So then let's go back again to Ezekiel. I love the prophet Ezekiel. I'm not sure I've come to love Ezekiel and Isaiah. Beautiful kind of great passages. But let's go to Ezekiel 18, 23. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23. Ezekiel 18, for the sake of time, it's almost 12. For the sake of time, I'll just read one verse or two verses, not the entire chapter. But it says this. This is God telling Ezekiel this. It says, have I any pleasure? Verse 23 is the one I'm reading. Ezekiel 18, 23, God is speaking. It says this, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his way and live? So what God has not changed, remember? So God, what God is saying to Ezekiel is this, I do not take any pleasure when the wicked dies in their sin. My pleasure is that they will repent and live. And God gonna say the same thing. We go to Ezekiel 33. You already in Ezekiel. Let's move a little bit, some pages up. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, 11. So this is God again saying the same thing to Ezekiel. say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. So what we're saying is this, to desire a great work, to desire to see sinners come to repentance, to desire to see sinners enter into a better relationship with God, it is okay, it is a great thing, it is a good thing to desire those things. But remember, as I said though, to desire them, you must pray. To desire them, you have to fast. To desire them, you have to stay in connection with God. So let's go back again to the book of Nehemiah. I'm going to go a little bit faster for the sake of time. Let's go to Nehemiah again. We have to go back again to Nehemiah. We're going to be in chapter 2. Nehemiah. So then we're going to begin with verse 6. So here's where I'm coming from. So what I want you to remember is this. You must have a purpose. You must have a purpose. We see that Nehemiah, he has a purpose. He wanted to build the wall. We saw that David has a purpose. David wanted to build the temple. Likewise, God the Father, Jesus Christ, what is his purpose? What is his goal? Is that every man, every woman should turn to him, should be saved. But now, in that purpose, you must have a plan. You must have a plan. And that's what Nehemiah is going to do here. Nehemiah says this, verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when will thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. So we're going to continue verse 7. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given unto the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. So what we see is Nehemiah has a plan. He has a plan. I guess time will not allow me to go over all of it. But bear me the time. Read it on your own. What you're going to see is this. As Nehemiah is building the temple, as Nehemiah is building the walls, they will have the sword in their hand. They will have the sword in their hand, and some people will be at work. So as they will build the temple, some people will be watching, and some people will be laboring. So I guess today, sometimes we as Christians, we spend a lot of time. We are unbalanced Christians. What I mean by unbalanced, we spend a lot of time, let's just say we pray. And then what we do, we've elevated prayer above, let's just say, soul winning. Or we've elevated soul winning above, let's just say, prayer. So I think this is not good. You have to be a balanced Christian. Because in order for you to have power to go soul winning, so you don't feel thin, so you don't become discouraged, you have to pray. But likewise, you cannot say, all I'm going to do, I'm going to pray. Nobody going to get, I mean, God can. If God wants, when you pray, he can turn the world upside down. But when you look at the books, we saw that Jonah, he prayed, but he went. We saw that Jesus Christ himself, he prayed and he went. We saw that Nehemiah, they were working, and they were watching. So what I'm saying is this. Do not elevate one thing above the other. Some Christians, we spend a lot of time reading our Bible. We know the Bible left and right. We can quote almost every verses. Some Christians, we spend a lot of time in prayer. The prayer closet. Everybody should have a prayer closet. And that's a great thing. Everybody should read the Bible. So we know, thus saith the Lord. So when the devil comes, we know it's from the devil. It's not from God. As you can see, Christ himself defeated Satan through his word. So it's good. It's a great thing to know God's word. It's a great thing to pray. It's a great thing to go soul winning. But do not put one above the other. Be like Nehemiah. Do all of them simultaneously. Be that Christian, I'm going to pray. That's the plan, am I right? That's the plan I'm giving you. I'm going to pray, I'm going to do soul winning, and I'm going to read my Bible. And I'm going to be separated as well, because also that's lacking. That's lacking as well. Sometimes you can pray. You can also read God's word, and you can also go soul winning. But if you do not have a testimony, you're cutting God's leg off, because you're cutting the message off. Because how will you like it if I go soul winning and I pray, I read God's word and I go soul winning and my neighbors, they know that I'm disrespectful to my wife, or they know that, let's just say, I steal on my taxes. You understand? Or let's just say I don't go to work on time, or I'm mean to my bosses. I'm disrespectful to my bosses, or I have envy in my heart. What I'm trying to say is this. Christianity, that the plan I'm trying to give you, it's not me, it's the Bible. The plan that is from the Bible, don't be an unbalanced Christian where you spend all your time in prayer or you spend all your time in reading God's word, or you spend all your time in soul winning, or you so separated, you don't do any of those. It's all of it. It's all of it. Kind of when you do all of them, when you do all of them, you're going to see the grace of God. Because this is what happened. If you go out, soul winning, you're not charging yourself in prayer in due time. Listen to this carefully. If you go out soul winning, you don't pray, in due time, you know what's going to happen? It's going to become a chore. Soul winning is going to become a job. It's going to become a duty. I go because God says to go. It's not going to become, I go because, man, I get to go. I get to lift up God's name. You see where I'm coming from? So what I'm trying to say, the plan that Nehemiah has, I didn't get to read it for you, but many of you are familiar with the passage. You can read the entire book. As they were watching for the enemy, they have their sword in their hand, and some of them were laboring. So likewise, as Christian, as we go out, we ought to keep praying to God. We ought to keep reading God's word, and we ought to be separated. So then we're almost done. Let me add one more thing for the sisters mainly. Because one thing I've seen in Christianity today is this. It's a very great danger. There are two dangers that I've seen. I'll give you both folds. You have to come tonight so I can elaborate more on this. Here's a danger that I've seen. A young man desire to do a great work for God. And once again, there's nothing wrong. And he has started. God has blessed him. He has started that great work. But in due time, pride comes in. It's very dangerous ground. Pride comes in. You know what? When pride comes in, he loves the work more than he loves God. When pride comes in, he's willing to compromise the work than to stand on God's word. So as I said, I will not elaborate more on that. I hope many of you will come. I will talk about that more later tonight. But remember, I want you to desire to do a great work from God. But as you build a great work, and the danger that I've seen is that many, many, many young men, or maybe they're not young men anymore, they become prideful. They put their work above God. I'll give you one thing. Whatever work you start for God, whatever work it is, whatever how big the work become, always be willing to give up that work for God. Because the moment you love that work more than you love God, you are in trouble. It's idolatry. So for the young ladies as well, for the young sisters here as well, here's the thing as well. Many of you might say, I'm not called to the ministry and so forth. But let me read this passage for you. Let's read Nehemiah chapter 3. I won't read the entire chapter, but I just want to show you something. So let's read verse 1. I will read verse 1 and 2, and we'll skip to verse 12. Nehemiah chapter 3. It says this. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it. Even unto the tower of Meah, they sanctified it unto the tower of Anael. And the next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And the next to them builded Zechor, the son of Emery. I guess the key I want you to get in there, the next. Somebody was laboring. Then we skip to verse 12. Verse 12 is interesting. It says this. And next unto him repair Shalom, the son of Aloash, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. It says he and his daughters. So I think there's a misnomer in Christianity today. I know it's in the Bible where it says women ought to be keepers at home. there is that verse in the Bible where Paul talks about Timothy as he was instructed in the gospel by his grandmother and by his mother. So it is true in the Bible, to the best that you can. And if you are not to that point, you should work towards that point where your wife is at home, raising the children and so forth. Once again, if you're not to that point, you should work to that point. Having said that, it doesn't mean as a woman, you ought not to go and serve God. You ought not to go and evangelize as well. Because we see that these women, these daughters of this man, they were serving with their dad. And I'll tell you one thing, and I think many of you may testify to this. As a preacher, we can preach, we can preach about dress code. We can preach about being submissive to your husband, be submissive to that. But there's nothing greater to see when you see a young lady who dresses modestly. There's nothing so beautiful to see when you see a young lady who's submissive to God, who's submissive to her husband. Although we say that, when that is manifest in the outside, you cannot explain it. I guess I'll put it in that perspective for you. Preaching is like the knife that a physician uses, a scalpel, where they do major cuts before they do surgery. Whereas the spirit or the labor of a young woman who sold out for God, it's like that little needle when you're doing the final touch. Or you can look at it from that perspective. The preaching of the word of God is like building this house. Oh, Daniel, it's like, yeah, building the house, yeah? And then whereas the spirit of a young woman who's serving God, it's like the decoration of that house. So what I'm saying is this, for the word of God to proceed, for the word of God to continue on like Nehemiah was doing, we need everybody on board. Not only men, not only the preacher, not only Brother Daniel, not only Brother Jesse, not only the faithful ones, but we want everybody on board. Men, women, children, older folks, everybody on board. And as I said, remember the plan. Do not be the unbalanced Christian where you do one thing at the expense of the other. Try to do all of them. Try to do all of them. The more you pray, the more you will desire to reach soul. The more you go out to reach soul, the more that book becomes so important. The more you realize you need God's grace. So I won't keep you too long. I think time is, it's 12, 11 after the hour. But to sum up, here's what I want you to get. To sum up, here's the idea. Young men, young women, you are not too old, you are not too young. You ought to desire to do a great work for God. And for young women, the great work, it's not to be a pastor. That's not the great work for a woman. But the great work could be, I want to support my pastor. Or I want to support, let's just say it's your husband. Or let's just say I'm going to support that church. I'm going to be submissive to God. I'm going to be that godly woman. And as I said, men as well, don't forget though, do not be the unbalanced Christian. Have the same plan Nehemiah has, where you're not doing one at the expense of the other. You're doing all of them collectively. So let us stand up and we'll pray and we'll be dismissed. So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Father, thank you for the attentiveness of this congregation. But Father, in part from hearing the words, to hear the words and do not apply it to our heart, the Bible says it is like a man who look at himself in a mirror and then he forgets the way he looks. So Father, the words has been preached. Father, the message is not only to the congregation, the message is also to me. So, Father, please help us, Father, to apply it into our lives. Father, certainly the devil will prefer that we hear it and do not apply it. But, Father, please, please, we beg of you, help us, Father, to be that balanced Christian. Help us to be that Nehemiah. The land lieth waste. America has become a wilderness. America has become a mission field, Father. Help us, Father, to be sold out Christians. Help us, Father, to spend times in prayer. Help us, Father, to spend time in reading God's word. Help us, Father, to spend time being separated unto you, Father. But also, Father, help us to spend time trying to reach the lost. Oh, Father, you died. The reason you died, the reason you have left us on this earth, it is for all those things so that men, women, children, they can be reconciled with you. Father, be with the congregation as we go our separate ways. I pray you provide us with safety. I pray that some of them, all of them, will come back to hear the second part of the message. Forgive us, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.